Support for the Marketplace Morning Report on WILL comes from Busey. Since 1868, they've reinvested in our communities one project at a time, from financial guidance and support to energetic volunteers and committed leaders. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. Oil prices extended their losses today, with U.S. crude trading near a six-year low on fresh worries about the global glut of oil. It is estimated that Saudi Arabia, the world's top oil producer, will ramp up output to more than 10 million barrels a day this month, while production from Iraq and Libya will also keep rising. In the U.S., oil inventories are running at an 80-year high as a result of record production, and the International Energy Agency warned last week that the U.S. is nearing storage capacity. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack used his speech at the National Farmers Union to announce $97 million in U.S. program funding for specialty crops, farmer markets, and beginning farmers. Most of Vilsack's funding announcements were for the competitive grants that have application deadlines. Among the announcements was a change in the non-insured crop disaster assistance program to help increase access to the program for beginning, limited resource, and other producers who do not have risk protection available through crop insurance products. Many of these producers grow fruits, vegetables, and other specialty crops. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 17,795, and it is down 60 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Unusually warm conditions occurred across hard red winter wheat country yesterday afternoon, with temperatures pushing into the lower 90s in parts of Nebraska and Kansas. Temperatures in the 80s were common in the rest of the Central Plains, and some 70s occurred northward and eastward across portions of the Midwest and the northern U.S. Plains. All of this warmth was certainly unseasonable, and it's not likely to be perpetuated any longer. Temperatures across these areas today will be notably cooler, with afternoon readings expected to run mostly in the 40s and 50s across not only hard red winter wheat country, but a big part of the Midwest as well. We did experience favorable conditions yesterday afternoon across the Midwest. Temperatures reached over 80 degrees in portions of Iowa, northwestern Missouri, and eastern Kansas, and again parts of Nebraska. We also saw 80 degrees at the St. Louis, Missouri area, and the rest of the eastern Midwest reported temperatures mostly in the 70s, with a few 60s from Michigan into parts of northern and eastern Ohio. The warmth was long overdue. It's been a long, cold winter, but the sustainability of this kind of warmth is not there for today or for any other day this week. We will see temperatures cooler across these areas, with afternoon highs over the next 2 days running mostly 40s and 50s. We'll expect to see some nighttime cooling as well, dropping temperatures back below freezing across many northern and western portions of the Midwest. The temperatures may still be somewhat on the mild side on Thursday of this week. We'll look for the afternoon temperatures then, running mostly 50s, but a handful of upper 40s will occur as well. And as we go into Friday and Saturday, we'll see a short-term bout of warming across the Midwest. Temperatures will be back in the 50s and 60s in many areas, with perhaps a few lower 70s in the southwestern part of the Corn Belt. But that's as warm as it gets. A reinforcing shot of cold air will come through as we go from Sunday into Monday and Tuesday of next week, with afternoon highs back into the 30s and 40s across the northern Midwest and 40s and lower 50s in the south. Our lowest temperatures at night are expected to run back into the 20s and 30s quite often this week and into the weekend. The coolest air will show up late in the weekend and early next week, at which time we'll likely see teens and 20s occur across the northern half of the region, as we see 30s in the south. Well, precipitation prospects across the plains and the Midwest will be somewhat erratic as we go forward through the coming week. There will be opportunity for precipitation in both areas, but as far as big soakings of precipitation is concerned, I'm not quite sure that it's all there. Today's computer forecast model data was suggesting some heavy amounts of precipitation for hard red winter wheat country and also for a part of the upper Midwest in the second week of the outlook, but I'm not ready to buy into either event. I think there'll be some shower activity, but certainly not going to be real substantial amounts of moisture. Most of the Midwest will be left dry here today and tomorrow. The disturbance that will occur in parts of hard red winter wheat country will begin spreading some shower activity into Missouri as we get into tomorrow afternoon, and that will eventually spread a little bit further into the Ohio River valley as we move into the evening tomorrow and on into Thursday morning. The precipitation is expected to diminish, though, as it moves into our region, and most areas will probably not see much more than 2/10 to around 4 or 5/10 of an inch of moisture from this event. The precipitation will still continue into the Friday-Saturday time period in some of the lower parts of the Midwest, but it's not until a reinforcing shot of cold air comes into the region as we get into Friday and Saturday that we'll see a better chance for precipitation in some areas across the region. Some of the computer forecast model today suggests that most of the cold air will come in dry, and it will be when the cool air starts to abate that we see our next larger storm system potentially, and that may hold off until sometime early to midweek next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With more than 145 years of experience, Busey understands the benefits healthy businesses provide the local economy. Proudly partnering with the business community since 1868. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 551 and three quarters, down 3 1/4. July, 557 and a quarter, down 2 1/2. Soft May, 512 1/4, down 1 3/4. July, 515 1/2, down 1. May corn, 376 1/2, down 2 1/2. July, 384 1/2, now 1/4, down 2 3/4. Remember, these are live quotes. December, 402, down 2 1/4. May soybeans, 966 1/4, down 3, now 2 3/4. July, 971 3/4, down 2. November, 951, down 1/2. May soybean meal, 323.20, down 50. May soybean oil, 30.09, down 30. The July is down 29. April live cattle, 153.52 1/2, up 32 1/2. March feeders, 211.57 1/2, they're down 85. And April lean hogs are 62.67 1/2, and they are up 47 1/2. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, much of what we've seen in the recent trading sessions has been about the dollar, and the dollar certainly has been on a pretty much a straight up rise, and then now it's pausing just under the 100 benchmark. Question is, when the Fed comes and releases their statement tomorrow, does the dollar continue to march higher? And if it does, what does that imply?
Well, I think the dollar is going to march higher just because the U.S. economy is in a lot better shape than the rest of the world, especially the euro. So we could be back. I can remember years ago when the dollar was at 120 and the euro was at 80. And that was when we had the highest corn prices ever in 2008. So it can be bad for prices when other countries don't have money. So that could help push things down. It doesn't necessarily, but with economies of the rest of the world struggling versus ours, I think that could hurt our exports a little more.
I guess we'll have to keep a close eye on that. The bean export program is pretty much winding down, so I don't know if you can read the tea leaves there. We'll have to keep an eye on the corn export market.
Right, and with South America crop coming on strong, I don't know how many more beans we will sell, but we haven't seen many cancellations. That could still happen. On corn, we are slowing down there also, and South America does have a big corn crop coming on, but again, who's going to be able to buy it at what price? And that's part of the reason we're backing up.
So the risk to the marketplace is still for another leg lower in corn and soybeans, in your estimation?
I think old crop, yes. New crop corn especially, I don't know if we can go much lower. $4 has held a couple days in a row, and we're back at 402 and a half. Mm-hmm. But I think old crop, you still could go, you know, halfway back to that old 318 that we made in front months back last, I think it was last winter.
And then in the soybeans, 951 and a quarter is where November is right now.
Right, 951 and a half. And we've been to 47 and a half today, so we were down. We're back to unchanged right now. So you just don't know. There's all kind of naysayers talking really bad numbers, especially on the old crop, July's versus new crop. We don't know acres. We don't know weather. So those could still bounce various times, whereas old crop, we know what we've got. We know what we've shipped so far. What are we going to use from here? The crush yesterday wasn't quite as good as some people thought it would be. That hurt beans a little bit. Okay. We've been down, you know, six. We're only down three right now in old crop. New crop's only down a penny. Okay. It's been back to unchanged.
Thank you, Pete.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.